I was planning on welcoming you to Palm Sunday, but in listening to the gospel, I have to welcome you into Spread Your Cloak on the Road Sunday. Because the palm branches weren't there. When I think about that whole picture of moving in my life up to Palm Sunday, those palms are what I remember. I remember walking around the building at the church I grew up in, waving them. It was a lot of fun. But today, there are no palm branches. You see, because in the Gospel of Luke, it's very different focuses within this gospel on Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. There are quite a bit of differences. Some are insignificant, at least to me. Some great scholar will tell me why some of these are even more important than what I like to connect with. But, you know, in the others, comparing them, one, it's a donkey that Jesus rides in on. One, like today, it was a colt. But in another gospel, he rides in on a donkey with and a colt of a donkey, it says. He rides in on both of them. Now, in some of them, those gospel readings, there are leafy branches that are being waved and laid down on the roadway, as well as the cloaks that we heard today. But in the Gospel of John, there are no cloaks. It's actually palm branches. It says palm branches, where the others say leafy branches. But today, we just have cloaks. Now, for me, there are some that are more significant. There is what Jesus is called during that triumphant entry. In one, he is called the Son of David. In one, he is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. In one, attached to the one who comes in the name of the Lord is the word king, like today. We have king in there. But it's a lowercase k, if you notice, and that's significant. Because in the Gospel of John, it's a capital K, and it's the King of Israel. That's what it says right out there. The part about blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, that ties the listeners back to Psalm 118 that we heard today, that we sang today. Ties it back to their ancient texts. Ties it back to prophecy of the Messiah coming and saving them. But really, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord was their usual greeting to one another during the Passover pilgrimage. So that might have less deep meaning than what I might have thought. Calling someone, or Jesus particularly, the Son of David is a little risky, because the Jewish leaders, they would know what that meant. They would know that those shouts were referring to Jesus being the Messiah. But the Romans, they don't know that. Now, calling someone the King of Israel, that's dangerous, because both the Jewish leaders, blasphemy, and the Roman leaders, the king is not Jesus. It's Caesar. And that's both, in both cases, it's a death sentence. So it really is dangerous to say King of Israel. Now, there are other differences too. So, like, besides the disciples, who are out on the road with them that day? Who do we hear about? In one gospel, it says there are many people. In one, it says a crowd. In one gospel, it says great crowds. And then today, it says people. I think there's some difference there. And even within those crowds and great crowds and many people, in some gospels, out of those many people, those great crowds, there is a parade of people waving and leading Jesus into Jerusalem, and there's people behind waving on both ends. It is a parade in some of the gospels. We don't get that today. Where in the gospels today is the shouting of Hosanna? It's in the other gospels, but we don't hear it in the gospel of Luke. Luke's focus is not on this large crowd of people parading around shouting Hosanna. There is not this large, desperate, hopeless crowd. And Hosanna, when they shout that, it means save us, we beg you. Where is that desperate, begging crowd for salvation? In Luke's gospel, that focus is on a very small group, much smaller group. And it's a group that has made a significant change in their lives, leaving everything by choosing to follow Jesus. I mean, this group has been there, close up, watching Jesus. They watch him throughout his ministries, throughout Galilee, throughout the whole region, touching lepers, the blind, the sick, the bleeding, and the dead even. This group watched Jesus change lives, transform lives of those who had been kicked out of the homes by the family due to some shame or sin. So they were homeless. He changed the lives of those who were oppressed, those who weren't even allowed to come into the city because of some disease. Jesus changed the lives of the outcast and those who were without hope. They watched him change their lives. Luke's focus is not on those who have simply heard about Jesus. Those in Jerusalem hearing about, well, Jesus did some of these things, and they come out to meet the parade. We hear that in some of the other Gospels. No, Luke's focus are not on these people who are on the peripheral, who are hearing about this miracle worker who then they go out and want to experience. No, Luke's focus is on the disciples. Disciples, those were his students. They were listening to his teachings. And those students publicly had already chosen to follow Jesus. They would be recognized later in the story as having followed Jesus. Today's gospel, it says, it was the whole multitude of disciples that began praising God joyfully with loud voices for all the deeds and power that they had seen. It was the disciples who were shouting because of what they had seen. They had been transformed, and they were sharing that publicly, risking their lives, saying, we follow this guy, no matter what. It was them that shouted, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. They had a path to choose, and they chose to follow Jesus publicly. It was not always easy for them. Sometimes it was kind of smooth, and sometimes it wasn't so much. But today we had a choice. We had a choice to parade around the building or not. Those of you who chose not to, you made the right choice because there was a reason you chose that. And so you needed to stay here, and that's the right choice. For those of you that had to make a choice, I don't know if it was the right choice or not, but you had a choice, and you had to go left, and if you went left, you followed the decorated cross. It's veiled. It's got a palm on it. You followed the decorated, all-vested-up choir and you came around this side of the building. It was a smooth path. And not only that, you could hear the music being played through the doors as if it's calling you to keep coming around the corner. If you chose to turn right out of the Lich Gate, your experience was very different. It is a much more difficult path to take. Allison chose the right path because Allison would not have made it in her wheelchair if she had chosen to go that way. You wouldn't have made it. And so you made the right choice. I would even say that not only is it rocky and difficult, for some it would be dangerous for you to walk around that side of the building. But I want you to notice that no matter what path you took, if you chose to stay here, if you chose to turn and go left, you had no reason to know why you were going that way. Felt drawn to go that way, if you felt drawn to follow a cross that the person carrying it wasn't vested, the cross wasn't, had all the fancy stuff, it was, we're gonna follow that one. You notice that we all came back together. We ended up in the same place. We ended up right here in worship together. Both of those paths led us here. The path that Jesus is on from this point forward in the gospel, his path leads to his death. And we are all on a path that leads to our death as well. But in Jesus, our understanding of death is different. So what is our path? Do we just show up on occasion? Do we maybe hear about Jesus? We're hanging out somewhere, and we hear about this Jesus guy, and so we get drawn to him for a little bit to go out and see, and then we slip back away. Are we ones that maybe just come out and lay down our cloaks? And if you noticed in the gospel reading, the cloaks happened earlier. It was like, we're going to lay these down, but no one's going to see us. It's kind of safe, you know? Where when the disciples were yelling, they were down here on the main road going into Jerusalem with all the other folks who were headed in for the big celebration of Passover. They were being heard. It's our path. Kind of quiet, not being heard, being heard. Do we follow Jesus no matter where it takes us? Because I know that Jesus follows me through both the easy or what seems to be much easier, smooth paths, and Jesus is following me when I'm going through that rocky side in my life too. Do we follow Jesus in a way that we study him so that then in that study that we can not only have him with us through the rocky times and the rocky paths that we find ourselves on, but then we can also be Jesus for others in that same situation? Do we not only study him, but do we live as he lived? Do we love as he loved? Do we follow him no matter what, being the bringers of hope? I'm drawn to today's collect and the portion that says that in Jesus, we are praying that we may walk in the way of his suffering. Might sound like an odd thing to pray for, but I know that to walk in the way of his suffering, I know where that goes, because the next part is that we also may share in his resurrection. That little piece of our collect is what's inviting us this week into Holy Week. Today is a celebration day. We'll lead into Tenebrae which moves us into darkness. That's Wednesday. We'll move from there into Maundy Thursday, which we start in the light, but we will end with the stripping of the altar. It will be empty. But even to get to the emptiness, we've washed feet along the way. When we move into Good Friday, we will hear that passion. Some churches heard that passion today, but it's not time for it yet. We have to show up on that Good Friday so that we can experience the passion, so that we can walk in the way of his suffering, so that we can experience the resurrection, because we can't have one without the other. We have a path to choose. Are we going to settle for being someone who yells out, "Hosanna, save us"? Or are we going to be a people who knows that through that shout, we are now a people of resurrection, and we can shout, "Hallelujah"? Amen.